Welcome back to the Daily Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I am here, as always, with Daily Thunder beat writer Brandon Rabar. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. It's a Thunder off night, three nights in a row. I think all Thunder fans are going a little stir crazy because we're used to either every other night or a bunch of back-to-backs if this was January. So three nights in a row feels like a lot. I think everybody's ready to see the Thunder play again.
Speaking of Oklahoma City, I heard there was an earthquake last night. Can you confirm this?
I felt it. I was not one of the lucky few thousand that got to go to the Drake concert last night. So apparently they didn't feel it there, but I did feel it at my home. It was a big one.
Not a Drake guy.
I appreciate Drake's appreciation of Oklahoma City and the Thunder and
things you appreciate.
I appreciate his appreciation
of all the things you love.
Drake and whoever writes his songs and his lyrics for him, they're perfectly fine.
No, we don't need it. We're not doing that tonight. All right, we're not doing that. All right, tonight's assignment, tonight's activity, we are ranking the top five players so far for the Thunder this season. I am very interested to hear your list. I would like to start at the top because I think it will make it more interesting. I think unless you're just a massive Chet Holmgren or Jalen Williams fan, I think we have the same guy at one. So let's start there. With number one, I will start off with, I have Shea at one. Take a breath. I have Shea.
Take right off the bat, huh?
I know. We do. This is what we do, you know, for the clicks.
So are we going to go back and forth? Or are we going to like comment?
Yes.
My number one, also hot take, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He's having an MVP season. Whether or not he is voted MVP, you can make an argument, I think, for Jokic or Shea. I see all this talk about Luka or Tatum or Giannis, and I get it, especially Giannis. I think Giannis has actually become a little bit underrated this season as far as MVP talk and as far as like best player in the world type talk. He's kind of been overlooked probably because the Bucks have sort of disappointed this year, although they're still number two in the East. Luka, he's been incredible, but the Mavs just don't have the wins. Tatum, he's been really good. I don't think he has the numbers, and the Celtics are stacked. I think it's Jokic and SGA argument either way, but that leaves the number one player for the Thunder a very easy choice, obviously.
Absolutely. And filling out the like one through five in an MVP ballot, I would like to at least mention Kevin Durant. His numbers are really good this year, playing a ton, and they've had – I mean, I don't – it doesn't feel like he, Booker, and Beal have played 10 games together. Like it's amazing how much he's had to carry to keep that team out of the play-in scenario as of now. I know they're creeping in, but he's been really, really good. All right, go for it with number two. I am very interested here.
Yeah, now this is where I think two and three, you can make an argument either way, and I think you can make a good argument either way. I got to go with Jalen Williams, though, J-Dub, Santa Clara.
Thank you for clarifying. I was didn't know which one you were going with
right,
there.
Right. Look, the leap he's taken this year has just been a total game changer for the Thunder. SGA has been MVP worthy. We'll talk about Chet later, obviously. We'll talk about some of the other guys. But I truly think that J-Dub turning into a star right before our eyes in a sophomore season has been what's made the Thunder go from, okay, a good playoff team to, hey, contender status, even though they're the youngest team in the NBA by weighted average of rotation players. I think that J-Dub's scoring, his spacing, his defense, secondary playmaking, everything – all of it, his fourth quarter domination, his clutch gene. He's a second scorer and a second star to Shea. He's been like the Robin to Shea's Batman. He's been incredible this season. And yeah, I've got J-Dub too.
I do as well. I was kind of hoping you had Chet there, but I totally agree. To me, it's the fourth quarter scoring that tips the scales in his favor. It is close, in my opinion. Chet, I think we both have at three. We can go ahead and talk about him. The leap that they've made that you mentioned, I think he was the thing that unlocked a lot of it. What he allows them to do on offense, the fact that it's never a point of him muddying up the waters for a team that drives more than any other team. The fact that he just slides in, and we talked about it so many times last year about how we would watch a game and just it's so obvious what the team is lacking. And Chet would check those boxes, and he was just hurt. And to see it this year not only be what we hoped it would be, but like a supercharged version already, maybe what we might have expected a couple years down the road, it looked like very soon. Going back to that Warriors game where he hit that turnaround three-pointer to tie the game and send it to overtime. And then another Warriors game late where he's hitting three free throws at home to tie that game late. I've just been amazed at what he's done so soon, so early in the year. I think if we did this a month in, we'd probably have Chet at two with how good he's been. But Jalen has led the league in fourth quarter points since January 1st. And I mean, that's what the game is. You get the ball in the basket, and he's doing it in the fourth against phenomenal defenders most nights. Like he's really taken that leap. And so two and three, J-Dub and Chet. Number four, I'm very interested to hear what you have to say here.
Yeah, this is where it can kind of maybe divert a little bit. But to me, it's actually a clear number four. Like, all of these have been pretty clear. Really, the two and the three, I think you could argue J-Dub or Chet. And I do think that if we did this a couple months in, it would be Chet. But J-Dub's, you know, ascension. And I do agree with you. I would say, like, J-Dub's kind of, like, been what's taken the team to contender status. But I do agree Chet is what's unlocked the entire thing and has what transformed this team from last year to this year. Being a defensive anchor, and then what he provides offensively also, obviously. So number four, I got to go with Lu Dort.
I do too.
Funny because, you know, you wouldn't guess it if you just look on social media, look at like NBA Thunder Twitter or, you know, fan pages or, you know, just, you know, general NBA vibes. It feels like Dort has kind of been under the radar a little bit, but he's still providing – incredible man defense, on ball, perimeter stopper, but it's been his efficiency, his 3-point shooting. He's shooting like Isaiah Joe. Now, obviously, yeah. And on a high volume, he takes more threes than anybody on the team. The thing is, though, obviously his are more open than Joe's or Shea's will be and things like that. But he's hitting them, and he's taking more efficient shots at the rim, and he's finishing better at the rim, and he's taking less shots. He's just taking better shots. So he's still providing the value on defense that he's always provided, but his offensive leap in efficiency, he talked about it at the end-of-season presser last year. He talked about it at the preseason presser this year. It was a big focal point for Lou, and a lot of players say things like, I want to focus on this. I want to get better at this, and they try, and they do those things. But Lou twice over said he was focused on this. He wanted to be a more efficient scorer, and he's become one. We've seen it happen this season. And, I mean, there's only 15 games left in the season. I mean, the sample size is big now. I think it's legit. Yeah, he's still streaky. There'll be some nights where it's like 1 for 7 or 0 for 4, but there's a lot of nights where it's 4 for 6 or 3 for 5. His shooting this season has been really, really good. So two-way player, Lou is my number four.
He's my number four as well. Since the All-Star break, I would like to ask if you if you would indulge a question, a trivia question. Highest three-point percentage in the NBA since the All-Star break. How many players are ahead of Lou Dort?
Zero.
Zero.
Is that nuts?
50%. 50% since the All-Star break, which is like a month. That's a month.
Yeah.
He's led the league. Who would have thought?
It's so funny. And I think that the numbers match the eye test now. Like before, I think past seasons, when Lou would shoot, maybe some fans or people watching the Thunder would maybe like wince a little bit, like, oh, no, I don't know about that shot, unless it was like a corner three that was open. Now, and maybe this is just anecdotal, but watching Lou shoot, I'm like, yeah, take that shot, Lou. He's going to hit that shot. Like it feels like he's going to hit him when he shoots him now. It's his leap has been unreal.
He mentioned today the quote, I used to take some wild shots. He asked about his shot selection and how much shot selection has impacted his game in such a positive way. The percentages we're talking about are not possible unless he really addresses it. And we've mentioned over the years, like, Dort's probably like being asked to do more than what a good team would ask of Lou Dort, a team that's filled out with the pieces that they want, would ask of a guy like Lou Dort. Now he just slots in perfectly as far as usage and where you want him scoring, where you want him shooting from. It all has made so much sense, but it's still, even then, it takes him being intentional about using the shots that they're creating for him and not working outside of that. And it's been a huge, benefit to him and to the team. It's been great to see. All right. Number five, pretty certain on 1 through 4. Didn't know. I thought you might have a little surprise in there, maybe, but now we're to the point where this could go a couple different directions.
I think you could go like four different directions and I would hear you out. And I, like when I was going through this, I say narrow it down. I narrowed it down to three, then I narrowed it down to two, and I finally decided on one. I am going to go with Isaiah Joe.
Okay. Talk to me about Isaiah Joe.
I'll tell you why. I'm going with Isaiah Joe because regardless of whether or not he's hitting his shots, he is always positively impacting the game because of his spacing. His gravity is real. And obviously, when he's hitting shots, it's huge. And he can get on a roll and he can just light it up and be a microwave scorer off the bench. But when he plays with the starters, like the extra space that he provides, or when he's just with Shea, the space that he provides for Shea, obviously he takes charges, his effort on defense. He's more than just a three-point shooter. He's the number six scorer for this team. He averages 8.1 points per game. There was another player that I really almost went with.
I bet I'll name him. I had Isaiah Joe at five as well, but I'm going to go with my other choice for sake of conversation.
Nice. Yeah, if we picked the exact same five, that'd been really lame. We probably should have hooked up before this podcast and be like, hey, let's switch it up a little bit. Take a tattoo. Who's taking? Yeah. Okay.
I think this is the other name you had, but it's Cason Wallace.
Yep. That's who it came down to. It started off as Isaiah, Cason Wallace, and maybe Aaron Wiggins.
I thought about Wiggins as well.
Yeah.
He just doesn't play enough.
He just doesn't play enough. And when he does play, he doesn't, have the same volume. Let's hear the Cason argument, because I could have made an argument for Cason that I felt just as good about as I did Isaiah.
I think he takes nothing off the floor. The way that they get to play with Dort, in very similar ways, they get to play with Cason. And with Cason, I think Cason's a better shooter than Dort. I don't think the numbers are there yet to back that up, but I think long-term he is a better shooter than Lou, a more reliable shooter. there have been moments in the last week where the wingspan of Kaysen and what he's getting to, passes he'll just snatch out of the air, or strips he's getting from behind after the guy has gone past him. It's almost as if he has lured the guy into thinking, you beat me. And he gets these steals and deflections and tipaways that in the last week I've found myself like belly laughing at the wingspan of Kaysen Wallace. The defense is real, and not just one-on-one. It's not like here's, and you could make a list of 10 to 12 one-on-one isolation defensive chops of Kaysen Wallace. But it's more than that. It's the instincts that you can't teach. It's the stuff where he just digs down and creates something out of nothing. A guy has gotten past another guy and he's able to take one step towards the lane and reach in and somehow get to the ball, or just provide enough to be in that space enough to stop a drive or to get a deflection or a steal, a strip. So I've just been amazed by the defense for a rookie, especially to think that like two of the best defenders on this team are in their first year. And this team has been top eight defense all season. And at sometimes top five, top three, like they have been a very good defense playing with one big and perimeter guys that, I mean, you just have to. It's like we've talked about like the Niners playing. You get to play that way when you have receivers to block. You have to have really physical receivers. In Oklahoma City, if you're going to play on this team, you have to play perimeter defense, switching defense with your hair on fire. There is no half measures in play. And we've seen some of this with Giddey, who I think is probably should be considered for that fifth spot. But we've seen him struggle on the defensive end, and it's usually just because he looks like he's going at half speed of what he could be. And the thing you love about Kaysen Wallace on the defensive end is that from day one, he was locked in and playing with incredible force and maturity and intelligence on the defensive end, on the perimeter. I remember the Golden State game. I believe it was the same one that we've mentioned before with that Chet hit the shot in Golden State to send it to overtime. I think they played, I could be mixing this up, but they either closed with Kaysen and then brought Lou back at the start of overtime, or closed with Lou and brought Kaysen off the bench to start overtime. I think it was Kaysen closing the fourth. But just the 1-2 punch of those two as point of attack defenders has been incredibly valuable. And it's saved Shea some spot minutes as a defender. And it's also allowed Jalen to get to guard up, which has been very, very necessary this year. So there, the defensive side of the ball, I think, is a huge feather in Kaysen's hat. But then the offensive end, the shooting from literally the first 5 minutes of the first summer league game, just from there on, it's been, this guy is a real shooter. And we're seeing a little more as the season has gone on of the off the dribble pull up at the free throw line kind of offense from Kaysen. I think he is so smart in transition. I trust him with the ball in transition. I trust him obviously in transition defense. He's made some outstanding plays this year, two-way plays that turn into opportunities on the other end. But I'm just such a fan, and I think he's definitely worthy of consideration for this list.
I mean, you don't have to sell me on Kaysen.
I know you were all over him. You had to sell me on Kaysen really after the draft, and but yes, you were all over it.
Yeah, not to toot any horns here, but pre-draft podcast in the Daily Thunder chat, Cason Wallace was my guy. And it was what we're seeing now. It was the two-way play. I was like, this dude was shooting over 40% from three before he got hurt. He came back and he was playing hurt. He still ended up at like 35% on the year, but he was shooting really well before that injury. And it was all the things that we see, the defense, the playmaking, the effort, the IQ, all those things, and they're translating. And he's a Kentucky guard. I mean, like, it was right there. So it's really fun to see. If you've covered the Thunder, if you've been a Thunder fan through the rebuild, you've also become kind of a novice draft expert like myself and Ryan and anybody who has been a Thunder fan the last few years. You spent a lot of time on Tankathon. You've been going and watching scouting reports of all these guys. So it was fun to see. Like, I really sank my teeth into the draft this past year. I really, really kind of fell head over heels with Cason. And so I was excited about the draft pick, and it showed up in year one. He started the year as a 19-year-old, and he already made an impact. And it was because of the two-way play. We did this top five, and it's kind of a top six because, you know, Isaiah Joe and Cason Wallace. But the Thunder have two rookies and a sophomore in their top six players that we've ranked here. So that's three dudes in their top six for a team that's number one in the Western Conference.
Yep.
They're rookies or sophomores. That's wild. Yep. And the old men on the team are 24 and 25. Those are the oldest dudes that we ranked for 24 and 25. And I think because maybe Isaiah Joe played in Philly for a couple years, people kind of assume that maybe he's a little bit older than this core. Isaiah Joe is incredibly young as well. I mean, these are all young dudes. It's wild to see a team this young be this good, ranking their top five or six players, and have none of them being over 25 years old.
The other night, they closed the game with two rookies, a second-year player, and an undrafted free agent.
When you look at it like that,
it's bananas. Man. I remember right after the draft, you know, I was really excited about the idea of Grady Dick with this team. So that kind of was where my slight hesitation with Cason came from. I remember you sending a text in the thread. I was like, it's going to take like one quarter. You're going to love this guy. Even after all the watching that I had done of him, I was like, gosh, Grady Dick would be so, so good with this team. And you're like, you're going to love him. Just wait. You're going to love him.
And it took even less than one quarter because he did it in his first summer league game.
So five threes, for five in the first half, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. That felt like a subtweet right between my eyes. I will say, I think Aaron Wiggins, if he played 20-ish minutes a night, would have been on this list without much hesitation. I think if he started for this team, he would be like a household name. I think he is so, so good.
I think if Aaron Wiggins was on the Los Angeles Lakers or the Golden State Warriors, he would be a household name, even with the same minutes, because he would be, you know, making the same impact, but he would be
help
all over Bleacher Report
specific team so much.
And sport, it'd be all over SportsCenter tweets, yes. and Bleacher Report and all those things, because he's legit. He's like exactly what you want in a role.
He might be Phoenix's fourth best player.
Yeah.
He really might be Phoenix's fourth best guy.
Some nights they're third best player.
Yeah.
Depending on which Bradley Beal shows up.
Exactly. I've just been thinking about Mark recently. Like, I really hope he wins Coach of the Year.
He should. He's
he really should.
I don't you think it's going to be whoever ends up higher between the Thunder and the Wolves? Like, if the Thunder end higher, Daigneault wins it, and if the Wolves end higher, Finch wins it. Although I will say, the Wolves, they have a few all-stars on their team. I mean, and they are not the youngest team in the league. People think of them as young, but Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Mike Conley, these aren't young guys. I mean, they have some young guys, obviously. Yeah. But on paper, they were supposed to be the better team despite. So maybe even if they finish really, really close, I kind of feel like Daigneault wins it either way. I think he's absolutely the favorite now.
I've been seeing some late Joe Mazzulla stuff as far as Coach of the Year is concerned, and I'm good. You know, like I'm not saying he's nothing against him, but I don't think he's been near as good or impactful as what Mark's been to this team this year.
No, I mean, like, obviously the Celtics have been incredible. They have the best record in the league, but that is a stacked team.
Really
stacked
good.
Team. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Derek White, Porzingis, Al Horford. I mean, this is a stacked team, and it's the East. I mean, yeah.
And in the same way that, like, people aren't talking about Mike Malone this year, like, Denver's really good. There's right. No surprises. There's no one thought Boston was going to be anything less than a top two seed this year.
Right. You don't take a finals team that improves the record by, like, you know, five games or what, you know, you don't give a team like that Coach of the Year. Plus, this Thunder year has been, you know, so special as far as, like, what they've been doing and the improvements they've made and you know, the buzz that they're getting. It's like that Denzel Washington meme. Like, they got to walk away with something. Like, they
I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah, that's what it is. They got to leave with something. Coach of the Year, MVP, rookie. There, like, they can't come in second in all of these. Like,
I know.
Wemby's going to win Rookie of the Year. Okay, then Chet's two. If you're telling me Jokic is going to win MVP, and then Shea's two. If you're telling me Finch is going to win Coach of the Year and Daigneault's two. If you're telling me the Nuggets end up the one seed and the Thunder end up the two seed. Like, mm-hmm. Come on. You got to leave with something.
The one seed, I feel like, has to lock it up for Mark.
Absolutely. Oh, if it's the one
seed. What are we doing? What are we doing? If they win 58 games and they don't give him Coach of the Year, they won 40 games last year. I think he's so deserving. And it just so mirrors the Scott Brooks Coach of the Year. It was like same kind of part of the timeline and surge back up into the West. It just feels kind of poetic that he would win it this year.
Yeah. And I like Scotty a lot. He was exactly what that Thunder team needed. I think it was great for a young team and player development, things like that. But that Thunder team had so much talent. Yes, they were young. I don't want to take away anything from Scott Brooks because he deserved the Coach of the Year and he was the right man at the right time. But I've just been so impressed with Daigneault, not only the development, but the X's and the O's and his in-game strategy, the plays that he runs, the way the entire team is bought in and they play team offense, they play team defense. Just the whole package. So absolutely deserving. And I think as Scotty was the right coach at that time, I think that Daigneault is the right coach at this time. But even moving forward, I don't think that this team is not going to outgrow Mark Daigneault. I think.
I think that's such a good point. I remember talking about, like, in the, like, 21 season, like, you can see some really good stuff happening, even though they're not winning, even though they're not super competitive right now. And I kind of thought this guy's going to be such a great, almost like a caretaker over this team and help them develop. And they're at some point going to upgrade at coach. They're going to bring someone else in when it's time. But now that just seems so silly. What a silly thing to think that this team wouldn't continue on with this guy. Is I can't imagine another coach that I would want more for this team than him. It's even, you know, top down, Presti to him, like, it's just such a relentless commitment to what they want to do. You see it in how they draft and in the patience at a deadline like this year. They are very, very committed to playing a certain way and what they think is a way that gives them the best chance to win long term. And I think if the one seed on March 19th really, really goes a long way in proving them right. The playoffs obviously are going to be the biggest tell, but this team, this young, this good, credit to Mark. He's been everything that they needed him to be the last few years.
Yeah, he really has been. This season feels like it's kind of like house money. and, you know, go into the playoffs. And, you know, obviously the Nuggets are going to be the favorite because of the returning champs. They have Jokic. They have a lot of talent. They've been there. They've proved it. Obviously, this Thunder team is young. But you still go in and you feel pretty good, you know, about any matchup. Like, could they beat any of those teams in the West? You feel pretty good about it. But even if they don't, what they've done this season, I think, proves that this coach, these players, this organization is set up so well for the future. And Daigneault is such a big part of that and really probably an underrated part of that. And I do think that Coach of the Year would kind of cement his status. And maybe there will be no more of those, you know, like when Andrew Schlett goes out to NBA All-Star and asks, like shows him a picture of Mark Daigneault. Nobody knows what he is. Maybe next time, like 2 out of 10 of them will know who he is instead of none.
We'd love to get to 20%. You know, that would be a big win. All right. We'll wrap it there. We're going to get out of here. We will be back next week.